And Godfrey's like, oh, I really want some Melba toast. How do I do it? And he goes and buys a peach Melba from, like, Harrods or somewhere and just sticks up the toaster and goes, yes, I believe this is how it's done. And then his house burns down and he dies and the world is a better place. Hello and welcome to the Canned Laughter Courtroom. Summoned for an unpaid speeding ticket is Mark.
I wasn't speeding. Well, I couldn't see how quick I was going because my speedometer doesn't go that high, but I wasn't speeding!
Fighting false charges of public indecency is Steph.
You say public indecency, I call it pants off, dance off.
And dragged in for four counts of insurance fraud is me, Simon. ...2013 has died. It's died in a fire.
Happy New Year!
What he said.
Well, this year's getting off to a cracking start.
Simon wants to kill himself and... And I can't talk because I'm eating Christmas cake still.
Yes, because those two are completely comparable.
I'm still gorging myself on the remnants of Christmas.
Well, until it's, what, the 12th night, you can still, you know, get away with it by using the excuse, it's Christmas
time, mistletoe and wine.
Children... singing
something.
That video is proper creepy.
It is really creepy.
There's a video.
Can we all just agree that's really creepy?
Yeah. It starts off with Cliff Richard watching a child sleep.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
It's very creepy. So do you guys have good Christmases and New Year's after?
Yeah, I had a pretty good one.
Yeah, Christmas was decent, and New Year's was good. Oh, what, you want more?
Well, you led. I
assume there'd be associated stories with, you know, decent and good.
Nope, we all got...
Everyone got hammered. Simon kissed a girl, which was strange and unusual for him. But at the same time, kind of good.
It was a growth experience.
Yes.
It was most certainly not a growth experience.
Hey!
No, none of that happened. Instead, a friend of mine hosted a sort of private-ish party for a bunch of our friends. There was lots of drinks, lots of music, and lots of good times had all around.
Hooray!
Yeah, it went very well. And a couple of our friends from America came over. They were over for Christmas and New Year's. They spent New Year's with us. That was good. And the morning after, we had a massive fry at breakfast. And watched a shit ton of Netflix.
That was a pretty good New Year.
It was... I'm going to use it as a template for... Like, the template for New Year's Eve was pretty much set 2 years ago from 2 years before this one, where we did essentially the same thing, but there were a lot more Americans. It was a more cohesive social group. It was less like straddling different social circles, which was the reason it was better, just because the group was more tight knit.
Cool. Social Venn diagram.
Yeah, but this New Year's Day with the food and the TV, because like don't really want to do anything. But it wasn't like the when you don't want to leave your bed.
Yeah,
like it was for me 2 years ago for some reason. It didn't feel like a hangover. I just couldn't get out of bed. It was quite weird. But this year, I could get out of bed. I just didn't want to do much once I had.
I forgot how much of a chore it is staying up until midnight as well. like any other day of the week, I will quite happily be awake past 12. Yeah, just pottering around, maybe watching something. But Becky and I were wiped by about 11. And we just forced ourselves to stay up until midnight.
I was going to say, you live in the heart of New Year's Eve celebrations anyway. I'm surprised you didn't try and, you know, get down to the, river. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, we thought about it, but we didn't know about transportation and stuff and figured it was going to be rammed anyway. It was cold and it was wet. And we had the BBC on getting up to midnight and kind of saw the fireworks as well. And kind of saw some of the fireworks around from my balcony as well, which is quite nice. But no, it's much nicer staying in, I think. Minimal leaving, getting cold and wet, when you can quite easily see fireworks from your own home.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone out for New Year's. It sounds like a horrible endeavour. Every New Year's thing I've been to has been someone hosted a party.
I've gone out for New Year's before. We went out 2012, 13, didn't we, Mark? Well, oh, no, you went there.
No, I was there for the 2012 one, because that was the superhero one, wasn't it? No, that would have been 2011, because I didn't... 2013 was the one that just happened, right? So 2012 I didn't make, because I was in Doncaster. The best thing about... one of the best things, other than, you know, seeing my friends, about that was at midnight, we tried to light a Chinese lantern and send it off into the night sky, but just kind of set it on fire. and it didn't float very far because the paper was compromised.
And so the first property fire in Doncaster in 2013 was...
You began the year with arson.
Arson. It's a good way to start. And then we... at the stroke of midnight, the 11 of us got in a circle, crossed arms, and started to sing "Auld Lang Syne," but realised after the word "sign" that no one knew any words. We just proceeded to be like, and I put this to you, like, no one actually knows the words to "Auld Lang Syne" past the title of the song.
I know the words.
Wow.
Well, I know the words of, like, the next two lines.
No, but no one knows a complete set of lyrics. So, I mean, even... with the BBC on, and, you know, like, the entirety of, you know, the South Bank were trying to do "Auld Lang Syne," you could easily see no one knew the words. It was just a mumble of Scottish tones. It was, that was it. It was basically like if the Proclaimers had a stroke. That was... But I don't think anyone actually knows the lyrics "Auld Lang Syne." I think it's just... it's one of those things that is a force of habit. You think, yeah, let's do it, let's sing "Auld Lang Syne," bring in the new year. And then you suddenly realise, actually, no, we don't know the words.
Well, let's see how far we can get. And it goes, "Should old acquaintance be forgotten, never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot for the sake of "Auld Lang Syne"? For "Auld Lang Syne," my dear, "for "Auld Lang Syne," we'll take a cup of kindness yet for the sake of "Auld Lang Syne." I can get that far. I don't know any further. And if you do, you're lying.
That's my point.
But with regards to the lyrics for "Auld Lang Syne," I found this a couple of days ago, which I'll drop in the show notes for you.
Oh, auldlangsyne.com.
Yeah, that's totally it. So it turns out to be thanks to Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadian Band.
Oh.
He didn't sound particularly Canadian.
You never know, he might just have a not very Canadian name.
Well, that's kind of what I just said.
So how was your New Year, Steph?
It was all right. I stayed in.
It's a grown-up thing to do,
and
really,
I cooked a fabulous meal. You may have seen some pictures of it.
Is that the one with the lobster claw?
That is the one with the lobster claw. Yeah, we had lobster and steak and duck and chocolate stuff.
It's every farmyard animal.
You're like this, Mark. Once again, I went to buy chocolate pudding... and it turns out it was Christmas pudding
again
with a chocolate centre. For the second time in my life.
Yeah, Simon, a few years ago at the Steph's Moosemus Christmas celebrations, obviously I don't like Christmas pudding, so Steph went out and bought me a small...
Not just me. Liz was with me as well.
Of course. But yeah, a small individual Mark-sized chocolate pudding was purchased for me, except it turned out to be just a small Christmas pudding
with a chocolate centre.
that's the biggest fuck you ever. It's like, yeah, there you go, Mark. Have a small Christmas pudding that you're not going to eat.
It's like you have a vegetarian round and you buy them a broccoli made of pork.
Pork broccoli. Tiny pig trees.
Oh, I would really like to try pork broccoli. Anyway, I don't like Christmas pudding either. But the reason I don't like it is because of the fruit in it, particularly sultanas.
Oh, I can't stand sultanas and raisins.
I hate sultanas. Raisins, I can tolerate, and currants are all right. So what I did was I actually made my own, but I made it into more of a cake.
Yeah.
So I put in currants, raisins, dates, because they're actually quite nice, walnuts, and the usual spicy shit, and baked a cake. So I get to work through that for the next 2 months.
How big is this cake?
It's not that big. I just don't like to have it too often.
Oh, right. The size of a small bed.
It's the size of a small bed for a cat. And since I don't own a cat, I don't have to worry about that becoming true.
Well, like a cat asleep on your cake?
Yeah. I don't really want a cat sleeping on my cake. I mean, isn't that obvious?
There could be some cat cake fetishists out there that you're completely alienating right now.
Possibly. I can't say I'm one of them. Cat cake fetishists.
Oh, Jesus.
This podcast has taken a very filthy turn in the past few weeks.
Well, the past 49.
Just wait till we get to episode 69. Jesus.
Oh, shit. That's totally half, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should like record that in person. We should just get naked in a bed and record it from that bed.
Don't shatter the illusion. People might think that's what we do every week.
I'm pretty sure that illusion was not there. Mainly given that last week we had to resort to the Skype call for technical reasons.
Some would say technical difficulties.
That's another podcast you should go listen to. But yeah, don't try and do a Skype call to someone else that's like 1.5 meters away.
The feedback loop would be terrible.
Feedback, it is horrible. It just screams at you. Everything just screams at you.
Going, why? Why, Simon? Why would you do this to us?
No, it's just more. It kind of has a kind of cycle to it due to the delay and the digitization and the round trip and the de-digitization. It's you notice it as well if you're on a Skype call with someone who's on their iPhone, which I think due to the reduced processing power available, maybe due to the position of the microphone and the speaker, if no one talks, that does actually build up a feedback.
Really?
I think Skype for iPhone has less feedback destruction in it. Because I've noticed it a few times when I've been on I'm usually on a Skype call with Matt when we're both playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And because he runs his laptop in clamshell mode, he uses his iPhone for the Skype call. And given that there's usually decent swathes of time where we're both playing but we're not exactly talking, then that feedback just kind of fills the void. You just go... I mean, that's dog-like.
And then someone gets stabbed in the shower.
Jesus.
I know, it's very difficult
to emulate
feedback with a human voice. But yeah, it's not good. So that's a lot like New Year's.
What?
I'm just pointing out the massive tangent we've just gone on.
Well, naturally, that's what this podcast is built on, tangents.
It's tangents, a giant tangent.
Tangents and dick jokes, surely.
We're still on a tangent from like episode 4. Which is
what
not...
did we tangent from?
Tangentify.
Tangenticize.
We started talking about Auld Lang Syne, then we moved to...
No, I mean from episode 4.
Oh.
Yeah, what did we tang from?
Probably brain tumours or something ridiculous like that.
Actually, well, it was called Tumour Outweigh Street Musician.
Well, that's what I was thinking, so...
So yeah, street musicians.
So what do you guys get for Christmas then? I'll drag us back to the one topic, maybe.
Well, I got an array of things. I got a.
I thought you were going to say an erection.
It's the best present.
I've never had one before.
You can do so much with so. Yeah.
Oh, so little. The fact that she could do so much from so little.
But no, yeah, I got a couple of board games, a new shirt, some Blu-rays. Yeah, couple of Xbox games.
Wait, most of what I got.
Toothbrush.
Manual or electric?
Both.
Oh.
Well, it's a manual toothbrush. It's also
got a buzzy
electric,
in it.
Yeah, buzzy head. which I prefer because whenever I use an electric toothbrush in the past, I kind of get bored brushing my teeth. Kind of just stand there and it's like, and you kind of feel like you should be doing something with your arm.
So you just start wanking.
Well, no, that still doesn't solve the problem.
Before you know it, there's foam and cum everywhere.
And you can't tell what from what. But no, I prefer, I like the manual brush action, but also quite like the cleanliness that the electric, this is a really sad part of the podcast. Yeah, so it's good. Good hoard this year.
I got mostly money this year, mainly because I'm quite picky about being bought for. Like I don't like people buying me clothes because it's like, oh, you'll just get it wrong. You don't know what I like. You don't know me, man.
Surely you like obscure band t-shirts.
What?
You like obscure band t-shirts. Not band as in, like, band in this country. I mean, as in musical.
Which is anything Threadless sells.
Yeah. Anything almost, you can pick up out most, the back of a van of an unlicensed gig.
Oh, God. I haven't bought anything from Threadless in a while. I was hoping to keep it that way. in terms of band t-shirts, I haven't bought any in quite a few years, actually. And since then, I've kind of dropped a size, but I may go up a size again. You see, this is why I don't want anyone to buy clothes from me, because I don't know what size I am, and it keeps changing every phase of the moon.
By spandex.
I got mostly money. I got, my brother was really the star of the show this year. He got us a lot of presents that were sort of low on resale value but high on sentimental value.
Just so he can't sell them.
It's not that we can't sell them, it's more that it's like the equivalent of work smarter, not harder, but for present buying.
So you got your, like, a framed baby tooth. It's like, you can't sell it for much, but the sentimental value is through the roof.
It's not his sentimental value, though. It's just some random babies yanked a tooth out of
him. I assume it would be like Simon's baby tooth.
Finding a fucking baby on the street, like, give me all your teeth.
It was like taking...
Kid, bite down on this curb. I'll give you £20.
It's like... taking teeth from a baby.
Is that too grim?
Very difficult.
yeah, that was...
So, sorry, what did he get you? There was high and sentimental value.
Yeah, come on,
there's
not
baby teeth.
Actually, I'm trying to remember them. He got me five things. I can remember three of them, because I can't really turn around and go looking. I mean, I could, but I don't want to. One of them, he got me. See, the problem with describing it is we have a lot of in jokes and references, and like if I tell them to the internet, they'll kind of fall flat and they'll lose their magic. But like he got me, there's a Ladybird book, which is like I think it's a Ladybird book or Osborne, designed for kids about a flight to Canada. Appropriate. He also got me a badge with the Acorn Computers logo on it. This being the company who basically made the technology of my childhood. It was apparently official staff merchandise, so that's pretty cool.
Cool.
And two of them I genuinely can't remember. I actually can't remember most of what I got for Christmas right now. I'm not very good at remembering stuff. What was it? He got me... See, this is the problem. He got me a Quality Street bar of the Green Triangles... And I cannot explain on air why that's relevant. I really can't.
I think you absolutely can and should.
Yeah.
No.
No, you should. I think, actually, that you're not trying hard enough and you should absolutely tell us. And unless it's... Well, how rude is it?
Very.
Okay, keep telling us anyway.
It's not so much rude as kind of horrifying. And
so you walked in on your parents with these green Toblerone triangle Quality Street things.
Yeah, come on, it can't be that bad. I'm sure whatever me and Mark can think of now will be worse.
Yeah.
In fact, I can almost guarantee it.
No. This, trust me, this is not something that I'm going to be talking about.
You once mugged a gypsy for her Quality Streets.
He once walked into your room and you were trying to insert 40 green triangles into your rectum.
One by one. Let's go with that. Why not?
Is that better? It can't be better.
Was it kind 50? Of is. Kind of is.
70.
It's not about the number.
You'd actually put an entire tub of Quality Street into your anus, but it was the last green triangle you were having trouble with, and he said, "Don't worry, I'm your brother, I'm here to help." And he got a hammer.
Yeah, let's go with that. Why not?
I really want to know what it is now.
Can you tell us off air?
I might tell you off air.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll
I promise on. Nothing.
So wow. Next week we'll reveal. <Yeah. laughs> How about you, Steph? Did you get anything exciting?
Knives.
Kitchen knives? Stabby knives?
Kitchen knives. Sorry, I just wanted to, you know.
Okay, for your culinary kitchen or your kitchen of stabbing?
My culinary kitchen. My kitchen of stabbing is not the kitchen of pain. I got some chef's
Ramsay's
knives.
Ramsay's kitchen stabbing.
Shut up! I got some chef's knives. And I got a massive. It's going to sound bad now. I got some chef's knives. Got a big wooden carving block. I got a board game, some money, a nice piece of wood. I can't really say any more than that. It's just a piece of wood that my grandma thought was quite nice that she thought I could serve cheese on. So now I just have a piece of olive wood.
That's nice.
It's quite pretty.
If I was in the position of serving cheese to people, I'd probably like that block of wood as well.
And what else did I get? I got some smelly stuff and I suppose I partially owner sharing whatever my wife got as well. So I got a new laptop and a new camera and
I got a scarf. Sorry, another one's just occurred to me.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Is it a good scarf?
It is a good scarf. It's thinner than my current one. So it's one that I can use in the warmer months. The one that I'd rather say for the warmer months. But yeah, it's nice. Sorry, this is the problem. Just the memories come back, like they percolate.
Like God's coffee.
Or you know, Jesus. Or like regular coffee.
God's coffee.
The Nescafe of memories. Dream Kenko.
Dream Kenko. Yay! Me. I had a nice Christmas. It was very, very busy, though. That was my issue. It was just like...
lots of visiting people and doing things.
You need, like, another week off work to recuperate afterwards.
Well, that's what I said. I said to Nick, the trouble is, I went back to Leicester to see my family, and I was hanging around, and I did something every single day I was off, and then I went back to work, and I was like, you know what, every so often, people have a day off over Christmas. Like, they'll be seeing people for the vast majority of it, but the majority of people will have a day off. I didn't. I was out walking, I was out cooking, fucking went to a rugby game on Boxing Day. That was cold. but all in all, it's all right.
Can't complain.
Nah, not really. I mean, I could complain. I could complain loud, but there's no point. It's done now. It's just, you know, one of those things. So what did you guys get up to then over Christmas, other than just, you know, familying and partying with Americans?
Family time, girlfriend time.
It's become a tradition kind of stuff. That me and a bunch of my friends from around where my parents live.
Essex?
Go out. Not Essex. We are not from Essex. We are from a better part of the country, I think.
Are you, though?
Relatively, yeah. Anyway, Christmas Eve, we usually go down the street, go drinking.
Yeah. Just on the street?
Yeah, we just sit in the street and just swig Blue Wicked from a brown paper bag. That's what you do.
There's a guy who got on the tube yesterday. Like, he fell in through the doors. And then just sat down and just continually swigged from a Jägermeister bottle for like the entire duration of the time I remained on the tube.
Maybe he wasn't feeling well.
No, I think he was just pissed and probably a bit homeless.
That's probably why he wasn't feeling well.
Where can you be on the shades of homeless category?
I don't.
Well, I'm allowed on the porch.
Yeah.
But the conservatory is off limits.
I don't have a home, but I do have a doghouse. Is that a home?
I've got three of the walls. I'm saving up for a fourth.
Maybe a roof.
Maybe a roof. I'll have an Indiegogo campaign for that.
I'll kickstart the roof.
So you're down the street drinking.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the story?
Just drinking at the end of the street.
We were down the street, we went to a few places, and it kind of, and like as the night goes on, it's the sort of the itinerary, if you like, starts to splinter. And people are like, you know, fuck this, I'm going home. Or people are like, I'm going to get a kebab and then I'm going home. But I was one of the lucky two of us.
Who didn't have a kebab?
Didn't have a kebab.
Thank God for that.
We're out in a lock-in till like 2 o'clock or something crazy. I had a good night.
Good. Marvellous.
I am glad.
Did you guys make any New Year's resolutions?
Fuck no!
No! Because I realised...
that is bullshit.
Right, New Year's resolutions, to me, are just the ongoing goals I already had, only I use the opportunity for the three becoming a four as a way to reframe them in a way that allegedly gives them more weight, even though really it doesn't, and they carry the same inertia as they did before. So I didn't make any New Year's resolutions because I didn't need to.
Smart man.
Yeah.
My New Year's resolution was to sound more knowledgeable than I am.
No, I'm kind of in a similar boat. Like I got Steph into this. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast before, but started a couple of about 6 years ago. Started a leap year list. So this is the second leap year list I'm currently working on. So 4 years to complete 12 goals. I think about four or five done on this new one. So I'm doing quite well.
Hey Mark, guess what? How many I've got?
Have you still got all 12 to do?
It's naught for naught. I've got 2 years.
And a month. That's 25 months to finish it off.
Well, considering one of them is have a child, it's like, that's probably going to get handed off to the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if it is a bit set and forget. From your perspective, anyway.
The child or the objective?
The pregnancy. Just like, hey, wife, come here. Wait 9 months.
Oh, that's spoken like a man who's never had to consider passing on his genetic material.
I really hope that Steph realises before 9 months that there's a baby on the way. Saw the like him and Nick eating dinner and all of a sudden it pops out. It's like the end of the first series. Like Liz really couldn't get her head like round this. Like the one of the characters at the end of the first series of Mad Men. You just think she'd been putting on weight for the series and just has a baby. And it's like, how do you not realise for 9 months that you like? In your mid-20s,
I just thought
pregnant.
I was really fat and had indigestion.
Yeah, and wasn't menstruating.
Like, whoops.
And it turned out my food baby was not made of food.
Maybe she ate the baby.
Someone birthed it.
Stranger things that... Well, no, I suppose that's not true.
No, because that would imply heavy stomach failure. In which case, how is she still alive?
Drugs.
It was the 60s and...
It was the 50s.
And a made-up story.
Come on, Mark. I don't watch Mad Men, and even I know what decade it's in.
No,
the new ones are in the 60s.
Time marches on. We need more plots. I don't know. I shouldn't complain about Mad Men. I don't watch it. I have no right to complain.
I just keep complaining.
If Steph taught me one thing, it's you can complain about anything.
You can absolutely complain about anything you like. It doesn't even have to be grounded in reality. Just keep arguing.
Yeah. A further thing Steph taught me is if you argue for long enough,
the other person will give up.
The other person will give up and you'll win.
Yeah. I just don't want to get myself into a ranting hole about how I think most TV is a waste of time.
Is that like the opposite of a soapbox, a ranting hole?
Yeah, I think it's the opposite of a soapbox. It's more of like
While I just get on my ranting. Ooh, God, Jesus, that's sharp.
No, the opposite of a soapbox is probably like a hand wash abyss. You fall in and can't get out. But either way, your hands are pretty clean. So, yeah, I'm probably never going to have a baby.
Yes?
Yeah, what if you settle down and meet the right guy?
Should that have been a
surprise? You know?
What's that got to do with babies?
You might want a child at some point, you know, once you've partnered up.
I might, that is true. But I don't see it happening.
Well, I think first of all you have to see partnering up happening.
Yeah, you know, one step at a time. It's not like I'm going to wake up, you know, bleary-eyed one morning in some other guy's bed with a whole bunch of adoption paperwork around me. Oh my God, what did I do last night?
It's like the Simpsons episode where Bart and Milhouse joined the Boy Scouts.
Did I agree to adopt last night? What was I drinking?
A massive sugar rush. So you just wake up and there's like one of those hampers at the door with a baby in it.
And a stork's left his calling card. Follow me on Facebook.
Beaked bastard.
Facebook.com/beakbabbies.
Beak babbies.
Where were we? Yeah,
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I found my notes for this episode because we sort of planned the topic.
Yeah.
And we haven't really talked about any of them. Well, we sort of planned it on being an episode about 2013, the year in review, but less shit. And I made a list of like three things I maybe wanted to mention.
Yeah. Go on then, what's 2013 been for you then, Simon, your year in review?
My own review. For reasons I don't really want to get into, it's been a pretty shit year overall. Just not as much that I wanted to do has really happened. I think the highlights of it have been the two podcasts that I do, this and the Technically Correct podcast. Boards of Canada and Arcade Fire finally released new albums, the former especially.
Hey,
guys, next time, can you make it less wrist slitty, please? Cheers.
Maybe they're just going through that emo phase that everyone does.
It's not even emo, it's just really, really, really dark. It works, it's just, it makes you feel horrible.
It works, it's just really depressing.
Yeah. And as I started to get to the barrel scraping stage, I remember that The World's End came out.
Oh, yes. Great.
That was wonderful.
Still haven't seen it.
You should, it's good.
I'm waiting for it to come out on Sky so I can watch it.
Well, it's out on DVD now, so it'll probably be on Sky before too long.
I know, that's why I'm holding out. I watched, what did I watch last night? Batman Rises, finally, last night.
The world's fastest broken back recovery.
It was somewhat laughable.
It's like, I know what'll fix my broken back. Sit-ups.
5 months of standing in rope.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Like, I for so long was thinking like, yeah, to get out of that hole, just don't tie that rope around you. Like, then it won't get tense and you won't not make that jump.
Or continue climbing the obviously pitted surface of the rock. It was, yeah. It was all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only problem I had after, on reflection of the three Nolan Batman films, was basically Bruce Wayne saves Gotham from a bomb three times. Because Bane has the nuke bomb, Joker has the ships set up to blow, and the Ra's al Ghul has the psychotropic bomb. Yeah.
You see, like, my issue is that I was watching it. We'll get back to New Year's resolution stuff in a minute. My issue is that I was watching it thinking, right, now I know that Batman exists in the same universe as The Flash, Superman, all those other people. Now, for a fact, Superman can be anywhere really quickly. I mean, he's not as fast as The Flash.
Obviously.
But I think he could find where it is and get rid of the bomb by throwing it into space faster than they could push that button. It's my opinion. And he'd probably hear the screams of everybody in Gotham and just be like, well, Batman can't handle his shit.
Well, I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, definitely about angels and demons, but it's the same principle of, oh, what are we going to do with this bomb? It's going to blow up. Just fly it really, really high and then jump out of your Batcopter.
Continue flying and leap.
Yeah, it'll blow up in the sky.
Hope to stay in front of the inevitable... Also, he may well have gotten 6 miles away. There's got to be some kind of massive radiation fallout from that.
Yeah. Maybe that's... Now the entire population of Gotham's irradiated, and that's like setting up the new DC universe of all the superheroes.
Everyone's irradiated.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what were we supposed to be talking about?
New Year's resolution. Oh, best and worst of the year.
Well, what's your best? So was that just your best, Simon?
Yeah, that's just my best.
What's
what
your
about,
worst?
Yeah, any other kind of good movies or albums then?
None I can remember off the top of my head. I mean, the problem was that in 2013, I continued doing what I tend to do, and I find other great albums from like years that have already happened, but I didn't see them in time. So they don't really count.
I think one of my favourite games of this year was possibly Bioshock Infinite. That was a very good video game.
Yeah, I still need to finish Bioshock 1.
Favourite TV was probably Game of Thrones.
TV. Don't talk to me about TV. Tomb Raider. New Tomb Raider. That was the other thing my brother got me. New Tomb Raider.
Oh, cool. Have you actually played it yet?
Nope.
Of course you haven't.
Oh, you got Pandemic as well. You sent me the picture.
Yeah.
Ooh. You're joining us on our weird board game thing.
Well, maybe. It's the only one I've really taken to. Well, I wasn't keen on Galaxy Trucker at that. Weird one that was like theme hospital, but with squares was like
Quarantine.
What the hell is this? Quarantine, that's it.
I want to play Quarantine.
That's all right. Well, next time we have a board game session, I'll bring it.
Well, what we need to do, Mark, is organise a session where we can all play Twilight Imperium for a weekend.
Yes, that or do some Descent as well. That'd be quite good.
I think if we're gonna do Twilight Imperium, I think it's gonna take us long enough without trying to plan to.
Oh
do
no,
Descent.
I mean like two separate instances, let's cram everything into a day. Absolutely, we should do that. Let me know well in advance, and I'll probably pick up the expansions just because I'm very much aware that there'll be. Very little opportunity to maybe do a Twilight Imperium Redux with expansion, so try and do it all at once.
Play for an entire weekend.
I'm totally up for that. It'd be nice to get some use out of Twilight Imperium.
Other than a massive doorstop.
It sounds like it's a complicated one.
It looks horrifically complicated, but...
I do plan to read the rules at some point soon. Just to see what I'm letting myself in for.
Just to be sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna read Lord of the Rings first as a warm up.
Oh dear me.
So in conclusion, 2013, fuck off and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yes? No?
I don't know. I mean,
mine was alright.
It was actually pretty good. Yeah. Do you want to go first, Steph?
No, you go first. I'm busy planning things.
I started going out with my girlfriend, which is a pretty big step for me. Still going well, you know, yay! Got my new job at Sony, which is, again, still going pretty well. It's only been 2 months now, but still pretty well. Yeah, they would think the two biggest things for me this year. Obviously moving to London as well, which is again still going well.
That's fairly big thing.
Yeah, how did I forget about that? Renting a transit van, that was exciting. Have I talked about this yet? I don't think
no,
I have.
No.
Yeah, because obviously moving to London is expensive. Basically, the removal company. I moved from a furnished flat to a furnished flat, obviously. So I didn't have much stuff. The biggest things I had were like my TV, my desk, and my two bookcases, and my desk chair, which is just awkward. And I thought, you know, I'll see what prices I'll get quoted for to take this shit down. And this was kind of excluding packing it, but I think including packing materials. And my best price was about £670 for some nice men to come take all my shit from my first floor flat and take it all the way down to London to a second floor flat that had a lift to get up there. I was like, fuck that noise! So I did the typical tight Yorkshireman thing of spending 80 quid renting a transit van overnight and driving my stuff down myself. I got this fun experience of driving a transit van for the very first time, 360 mile round trip.
Yeah, that's the other plus of it. You get to drive a transit van.
I know. Like the only issue I had was reversing because you can't see directly behind yourself. Luckily, I coerced my brother into going on a bit of a road trip with me, so he helped me load up the truck and obviously when it came to reversing. But no, I parked. I got into my new complex, and because there's a bit of like a through road, they put some bollards up to stop people using it as a through road during rush hour times. And I thought, oh, I have no idea where I'm supposed to park this to unload it. I'll just park here in this disabled bay because everywhere else was full. I said to my brother, just wait here in the car. I'll nip to the management office, which is like a 2-second jog away from where I parked the van. And in the time it took me to get over to the management office, the parking attendant had swooped in and my brother was looking very worried. So I ran back and I basically argued my way out of a ticket because he said it'd be a 60 quid on the spot fine for parking in a disabled bay, but I tried to argue with him. Yes, but I also don't know where to park, and there is nowhere else to park. His response was,
so
you just have to park in a parking space. I was like, well, I didn't know if there'd be any specific, you know, loading zone, unloading zones I could park in. I literally was going to go into that office. Can I still go into the office and ask where I can park? His response was no. So he's a twat. And even the guys in the management office said, well, not using the word twat, but yeah, they basically said he was a bit of a dick and he was probably going to be losing his job as they moved to a new parking attendant company, I guess would be the right terminology. But no, yeah, that was fun. I was pretty nervous about driving it. Like, the weirdest thing was, like, the elevation, like, being significantly higher up than a car. More kind of sitting upright and everything's kind of in front. Like with a car, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I feel like I'm kind of sitting back and like, yeah, kind of like arm on the wheel, like slouched back, doing my gears, like feeling like I should be driving down like a Southern California highway or some shit like that. But not obviously in my Peugeot. maybe in a Mustang or something more interesting.
Yeah. Do you have to have the seat forward?
you can't go too far back because obviously they partition it between the where the goods are and the driving compartment, so it obviously can't go back.
Yeah,
you can to a degree, but not as much as like a car.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Just checking that you're not bursting my bubble on maybe driving a transit someday because I need to have the seat tilted back slightly because of a condition.
You can bring the seat forward and then tilt the back.
That's all right.
But obviously, like the default position is kind of pushed back and straight backed.
Yeah, I hate that. It's horrible.
But not in it, and having the gears like in front of me as well was quite strange. But the one good thing was I rented through Europe Car, who are actually really nice, and everything went surprisingly smoothly through them. In the van it has like on the rev counter a little arrow flashes when it's time to change gear. So I didn't even have to think about that.
Huh.
So that was pretty handy. But no, yeah, overall, like, to say my mum and my girlfriend and, to an extent, my brother until he saw the van, all thought I was going to die piloting the contraption, which kind of shows their confidence in me.
You'd be dying as well.
I don't know what it is. Like, stuff like that, I'm pretty much kind of, you know, water off a duck's back. It's just kind of, yeah, fuck it, I'll drive it. No worries. Yeah, I'll save, like, 450 quid by renting a transit van overnight. Cost of diesel for it. Yeah, that was... I got all my stuff here and have transit van driving experience, which I'm sure will not come in handy at all for the remainder of my life, but I've done it. I don't know. It made sense and it was cool. Like, I don't know. I kind of enjoy driving it. It's kind of weird to say, but yeah, no catastrophes. The only thing I was really paranoid about was because I never tend to use my handbrake in my car. I always kind of sit on with like a foot on the brake if I'm, you know, in need of stopping.
Yeah.
Whereas with the transit van, I was very much, you know, handbrake on at all times, like so paranoid about rolling backwards if there's a slightest incline to the road. And oh yeah.
At all times. We're not driving down the motorway with a handbrake on.
Yeah, it's like
I'm gonna need her. Fine, in a couple of minutes I can stop and get a new gearbox, and that lasts me for
the next 20 miles.
Yeah.
Obviously on the inclines, but no, yeah, that was the only one thing I was really worried about was if I didn't have the handbrake on, kind of pulling off the brake to put on the acceleration to do a hill start and that kind of stuff. But no, yeah, it was a positive transit van experience. Unfortunately, I could fit less in than I anticipated, but I at least managed to get all of my big things into the transit van, which is quite good.
That's good.
But yeah, that's one of my interesting experiences that I've not really talked about. That happened on my that would have been in the kind of the grey period where I wasn't on the podcast and because I didn't have internet. But yeah, that's fairly good year for old Mark. How about you, Steph? What kind of good things, bad things, indifferent things?
I have no idea. What have I done this year? I must have done something.
You maintained.
Yeah, I maintained the same standard of awesome that I always do. No, what the fuck did I do? Yeah, I don't really.
You went to France.
Know. Well, yeah, I did my usual. I went on holidays. I've been married for a year. That's probably my biggest achievement. I haven't driven my wife to leave me yet. That's always a positive, yeah. I suppose. I don't know. I redecorated.
My
biggest achievement is doing the podcast with you guys.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
same here.
I'm proud of us all. Mainly I'm proud of you guys too. Because, well, it's hard not to be proud of me, because let's be honest, if anyone was going to bail, it would have been me.
I suppose that is true.
And not for anything other than just bone idleness, but we've kept it going. We've got new listeners. The website looks great.
Yeah, I've redesigned that many a times. In fact, I need to finish
the most recent redesign. Before you start redesigning it again.
I know, I don't know what it is. It's like when I move furniture around.
You're a compulsive redesigner. You're into the feng shui of the internet.
I think it's just the obsessive compulsiveness in me that it has to be perfect, and
it's never going to be perfect.
I will continually move furniture around in my place.
It's never going to be perfect.
It's never going to be perfect.
Great white buffalo.
I'll continually move furniture around in my place until I found the optimum position for everything. At which point, I'll get bored and then find a new optimum position for everything.
I don't know what else I've done. Like, I've still got the house, I've still got a job.
Oh, we did Eurogamer, of course.
Eurogamer was great, that was a lot of fun.
That was a really good experience.
Don't get me wrong, by the end of it, I think we were a couple of board games away from killing each other. And I really like you, Mark, you're a really good company, but I think maybe... Maybe we would have killed each other.
Well, next year we'll take some more going board games. Someone else. We'll go in pairs, but with other people, and then just meet up every now and then.
The year started off kind of shitty with my granddad and everything, but he's all right now. And it's gradually been on a steady incline of awesome. Had a pretty cool Moosemus. Steph Fest went quite well.
Yeah.
I need to do the new Steph Fest stuff, actually.
Oh, shit, yeah. Forget we're now
approaching... I have no idea what we're going to do.
Is it going to be another Leicester-bound one? Or?
I honestly have no idea. We will see.
We will overcome.
We'll endure. We always endure. That was good. What else have I done? You know what you think? You must have done something with the year.
Every year.
Every year.
I'll tell you something, though. Like, I now kind of pride myself on having no... knowledge
taste.
Of what the fuck people are talking about. So like when people go like, oh, have you seen all this what foxes are saying business, and I'm absolutely blissful in the fact I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah,
like,
I think...
like, previously, I used to, like, if there was, like, some big thing, like, if, I don't know, I can't tell you now, it's been so long since I've cared about things like that.
Like,
but I
like
used
Gangnam
to, like,
Style?
Like, yeah, exactly, Gangnam Style. Like, I would watch it, and I'd be like, Gangnam Style. And I'd at least know what the fuck people were talking about. But now I'm more than happy to avoid it, and in fact, try and go out of my way to avoid seeing, you know, Miley Cyrus being naked on masonry.
Yeah, I think the year for me has been a year of slowly becoming less interested in all the other shit that I had to put on the internet when I was a teenager and a student.
Yeah.
Well, as you get older, you discover what you do and don't want out of life.
Turns out what I don't want is people to know what the fuck I'm doing.
Ditto.
I want total internet anonymity. Merry Christmas.
What, without... I don't know, sounding too cheesy. I hope I pass my probation review. That's not really cheesy. It's just I really hope I pass my probation review next month.
hope you get still to have keep a my job.
Otherwise, I don't know how I'm going to afford London.
I imagine you'd move, seeing as you won't have a job.
I don't know. I've signed contracts and shit.
You know, move in with your wife. Wife?
With my wife.
Girlfriend. Sorry, my bad.
Move in with Steph's wife.
Well, Tom will be leaving in February, so if you
that
want to move
true.
Back in here if you're desperate.
Well, you know, you guys are a great company, and, you know, that's exactly what your marriage needs is a third wheel.
We will never get any time on our own, ever. Yeah.
I tell you what, I'll move in as well, and
exactly
I'll become the fourth wheel,
you,
and
Steph.
We'll make a car.
Not getting any time on our own ever was how I felt when Nick moved in with us, Steph. Or spending time with his fucking fiance.
Not getting any time on my on our own ever is my Yoko Ono tribute band. I hope we do another year of this.
Yeah.
I
actually hope
will.
That we make enough money from doing this somehow, I've no idea how, that we can all quit and just do this.
Yeah, sponsorships. We need to be good enough to get sponsorships. I think
we need
how
to be
works.
Producing decent content.
I think we do produce decent content. I just think
it's just highly inappropriate for all living
things.
Yeah,
I think we need to be sponsored by the likes of Real Doll and Fleshlight.
What, just sex toys?
Can you think of any other product that would be at the same level that would want to advertise with us?
I don't know. Maybe we find... we've given Threadless a shout out. Maybe we can, you know...
We could try and get Threadless involved. I can't help but think that we just insult any sponsors that were ever given to us.
I think we're too busy insulting each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we're at risk of insulting sponsors because if the people that we're likely to insult, like I don't know, Wonga, then we wouldn't get them as sponsors in the first place.
I would like to see us get to a point where we're actually making money off the back of this thing.
Oh, that'd be so good.
I suppose we should start doing blogs and stuff on the website as well.
Well, the website does need a redesign.
I already have, like, demo blog pages ready.
Demo blog pages?
I could whack some blog pages out.
Well, as in you get the first paragraph and it's like, to read the rest of this by now, only 1,200 canned laughter points.
Maybe we should have started our own currency.
Yeah, maybe.
No. No. The new currency.
No.
Shit coin.
Laughter dollars.
Laugh books.
Laugh is spelled LAFF.
And books, of course,
books
are spelled BXXX.
No, triple X.
So when you write it on two lines, the letters kind of line up.
Yeah.
Laugh books.
Oh, can we please do this? If Kanye West gets his own currency, we should get our own.
Yeah, I'm starting Laugh books.
We should see if laughbooks.com's taken as well.
How about you, Simon? Mark wants to be employed. I want to make money off this podcast because I'm a filthy money-grabbing bastard. What do you want from 2014?
I'd like what you want, but more general. I'd like to
just
be able
make
to
make money.
I'd like to be able to make more money off my creative endeavors, rather than just here's a thing. I will turn up and I will do it, and you will pay me for it.
Well, if you like start releasing some music videos on YouTube, maybe you'll get discovered. Like Bieber and all those other shitty boy bands.
Maybe I should start doing something creative.
Maybe we should be a record label and then we'll get money off Simon being Drydock. Oh, sorry, is Drydock your secret identity? We're not allowed to reveal that.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh my god.
Like finding out Daft Punk are humans and not actually robots.
They were human after all. That's it from this Canned Laughter podcast. Trudging to road safety classes has been Mark.
If only I hadn't run over that speed camera at 130 miles an hour and crashed into the school on fire.
Celebrating the drop charges has been Steph.
I knew they liked it.
And held in contempt for dropping trow has been me, Simon. Court adjourned.
Some people might be into that shit. Have an unreleased audio fetish.
Well, it wouldn't really deprive them of that by releasing the audio.
That's, yeah. Like, if you have an unreleased... Like, if you have, like, an impossible... Like, a... That, yeah. A paradoxical fetish.
What's a paradoxical fetish?
It's like, oh, I really get off on unreleased audio. Where you can't because... then you'd just be masturbating.
Well, you could. Just because audio exists doesn't mean it's unreleased.
Well, it's like,
you could be getting off on your unreleased audio right now. You could be releasing over your unreleased audio.
Theoretical ejaculation.